Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhujakacharya Stotra Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Prabhujakacharya Stotra Satashi Shimad His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anantakoti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Sekho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopinath Shyama Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Vrindavindam Ki Jai. Mayapurdam Ki Jai. Yamunamayi Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulasi Maharani Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pashtaya Bhutale Shemila Dhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Vani Pachayane Nirvise Shunyavati Pastida Deshidharine Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, The Status Quo, Chapter 12, The Glories of Devotional Service, Text 12. Maitreya uvacha iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam nishamya pumsam apavargavardhanam. Diya binandyatmavatam satam gatir. Babasha ishat am smita lobitanana. Iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam. Nishamya pumsam apavargavardhanam. Diya binandyatmavatam satam gatir. Babasha ishat smita shobitanana. Iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam. Nishamya pumsam apavargavardhanam. Diya binandyatmavatam satam gatir. Babasha ishat smita sobitanana. Iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam. Nishamya pumsam apavargavardhanam. Diya binandyatmavatam satam gatir. Babasha ishat smita shobitanana. Iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam. Nishamya pumsam apavargavardhanam. Dhyā binandhyātma vitam satam gatir. Babashi ishat smita sobitanana. Matur niravadyam ipsitam. Nishamya pumsam apavarga vardhanam. Srishat smita sobitanana. Iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam. Nishamya pumsam apavarga vardhanam. Dhyā binandhyātma vitam satam gatir. Babasi ishat smita sobitanana. Maitreya uvacha. Maitreya said. Iti, thus, swamatu, of his mother, niravadyam, uncontaminated, ipsitam, desire, nishamya, after hearing, pumsam, of people, apavarga, cessation of bodily existence, vardhanam, increasing. Dhyā, mentally. Abhinandhyā, having thanked. Atmavatam, interested in self-realization. Satam, of the transcendentalists. Gati, the path. Babhāshe, he explained. Ishat, slightly. Smita, smiling. Shobita, beautiful. Ananaha, his face. Translation. Maitreya said, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions. And thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Devahuti has surrendered her confession of material entanglement and her desire to gain release. Her questions to Lord Kapila are very interesting for persons who are actually trying to get liberation from material entanglement and attain the perfectional stage of human life. Unless one is interested in understanding his spiritual life or his constitutional position, and unless he also feels inconvenience in material existence, his human form of life is spoiled. One who does not care for these transcendental necessities of life and simply engages like an animal in eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating has spoiled his life. Lord Kapila was very much satisfied by his mother's questions because the answers stimulate one's desire for liberation from the conditional life of material existence. Such questions are called apavarga vardhanam. Those who have actual spiritual interest are called sat or devotees, satam prasangat. Sat means that which eternally exists. And asat means that which is not eternal. Unless one is situated on the spiritual platform, he is not sat, he is asat. The asat stands on a platform which will not exist, but anyone who stands on the spiritual platform will exist eternally. As spirit, soul, everyone exists eternally, but the asat has accepted the material world as its shelter, and therefore he is full of anxiety. Asadgrahan, the incompatible situation of the spirit soul who has the false idea of enjoying matter is the cause of the soul's being asat. Actually, the spirit soul is not asat. As soon as one is conscious of this fact and takes to Krishna consciousness, he becomes sat, satam gati. The path of the eternal is very interesting to persons who are after liberation, and his lordship Kapila began to speak about that path. Iti swamatur niravadyam ipsitam nisamya pumsam apavargavardhanam diyabhinandyatmavitam satam gatir babash ishat smitashobhitananaha. Maitreya said, after hearing of his mother's uncontaminated desire for transcendental realization, the Lord thanked her within himself for her questions, and thus, his face smiling, he explained the path of the transcendentalists who are interested in self-realization. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavati Paschita Deshatarine. So, as the purport indicates, we should find this interesting. And it is. There's a lot of interesting things here. First, if we go a few verses earlier, last week I think it was, it said that after Kardama Muni left, the Bhagavatam said that Lord Kapila stayed. And he stayed, why? Matu Priya Chakirshaya. He stayed in order to please his mother. And in commenting on that verse, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that that means that Devahuti had the chance to do all the motherly activities for Lord Kapila Dev, like feed him, etc., like a mother does for a child. So I was thinking of this, comparing this with Kardama Muni. This is not to diss Kardama Muni or to put him in a lesser position at all, but the differences are also interesting. Kardama Muni, because he loved that life of the yogi and the ascetic, and because he also had a duty to give that example of a person not staying to the end of his life in family life, and also because he was in the mood of, I think I brought this up last time I gave class, and some other people also mentioned it in class, how Kardama Muni was really fixed in Dasya Rati with Lord Kapila Dev as the servant, so he thought being the father was not really very compatible. So therefore he left. But Devahuti stayed, and actually here we see she was actually able to, what Kardama Muni was not given the opportunity to do, she was able to do that. She was able to actually do these motherly activities for Lord Kapila. So I think that's very nice, very sweet in their relationship. And although in Nectar of Devotion, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Dasya mood and Vatsalya mood are actually considered like incompatible or distasteful mixing of mellows. And the reason for that is obvious, because Vatsalya is really taking Dasya and basically turning it upside down, almost literally. That in Dasya, the Lord is the master and the devotee is serving. And in Vatsalya, that's completely flipped over. That the parent is the superior and Krishna is taking the position of the lesser. So it's turning upside down. So normally this is considered incompatible. But Rupa Goswami gives an exception. He says if these two different moods, they could happen in the same person, but if they happen at different times, then it's allowable. So we see Devahuti, she had her chance for this beautiful motherly relationship with Lord Kapila. And then the time came for instruction, and now she's fixed as the servant, as the disciple. Just like even in Bhagavad Gita, after Arjuna surrenders to Krishna in the second chapter, and expresses, just like Devahuti, Prabhupada says that Devahuti has surrendered her confession of material entanglement and her desire to gain release. So this is quite similar to Arjuna. My mind is disturbed. I have all these problems. I can't find the answer myself. I surrender unto you. And there in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada says that Krishna was smiling because he was appreciating how, oh, Arjuna, he's my friend, but now he's approaching me as a disciple. So also Devahuti, she was the mother with that beautiful motherly relationship, but not a time for instruction is there. And she's fully embracing that and stepping into it very, you know, fully and beautifully. Something that Kardama Muni was not able to access, but she was able to do that. So I thought that was a beautiful thing about Devahuti. So Sankhya Yoga, Lord Kapila is the teacher of Sankhya Yoga. There are some interesting things about what Sankhya Yoga is and the terminology used, which I think is relevant to spend a couple of minutes on here. In Bhagavad Gita, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita is sometimes called Sankhya Yoga. And Prabhupada explains what that means and what the technical use of these terms, how it applies. The purport of chapter 2, text 39, first he starts off saying, according to the Nirukti, or the Vedic dictionary, Sankhya means that which describes things in detail. So here he's giving a literal dictionary definition of Sankhya. He continues, and Sankhya refers to that philosophy which describes the real nature of the soul. So now he's giving a philosophical definition of what Sankhya is, and there's a little distinction. Sankhya means any kind of describing things in detail, deep analysis. Last time I gave class, we were talking about fluffing out compressed cotton in order to expand and explain and understand philosophy. So this sort of deep analysis is called Sankhya. And in that context, that's the context in which chapter 2 is considered Sankhya, that he's giving this analysis. This is the body, this is the soul, this is the qualities of the soul, this is the qualities of the body and material nature. So in that sense, it's Sankhya. He goes on later in that purport. And this descriptive knowledge of the soul and the body from different angles of vision has been described here as Sankhya in terms of the Nirukti dictionary. So again, he's referring to the somewhat technical or literal definition from the dictionary. But then he goes on to dive into that even more. Near the end of the purport, he writes, real Sankhya philosophy is described by Lord Kapila in the Srimad Bhagavatam, but even that Sankhya has nothing to do with the current topics. So in other words, this discussion in chapter 2 is called Sankhya because it's a deep analysis of matter and spirit. So in a generic sense, it's Sankhya, but the specific Sankhya philosophy is what we're going to start hearing now in the Bhagavatam from Lord Kapila. As he says, even that Sankhya, the Bhagavatam Sankhya, has nothing to do with the current topics. Here, Sankhya means analytical description of the body and the soul. Lord Krishna made an analytical description of the soul just to bring Arjuna to the point of Buddhi Yoga or Bhakti Yoga. And here's a nice conclusion that Prabhupada draws from it all. Therefore, Lord Krishna's Sankhya and Lord Kapila's Sankhya, as described in the Bhagavatam, are one and the same. They are all Bhakti Yoga. So this is the real conclusion. They're the same in the sense that the Sankhya in the Bhagavad Gita and the Sankhya of Lord Kapila are all Bhakti Yoga, leading to Bhakti Yoga, even though there's some technical, philosophical distinction between the two. Just like when we speak of yoga, actually we should also understand this, like we've been hearing in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class about the Atmarama verse, that every word has many different meanings, and they're applied differently in different places. So like when we speak of yoga, yoga could mean any spiritual path, it could mean someone going to the studio and doing stretching exercises, or yoga can mean the actual, you know, one of the sadarshan yoga given by Patanjali and that whole science. So the words used differently in different places, but the real purport of yoga is bhakti yoga. It's like yoginam api sarvesham madgaten antaratmana shradavan Bhajate Yomam Samayukta Tamomata. Yoga ultimately means bhakti yoga. Or when Krishna in Bhagavad Gita discusses karma yoga, what's the conclusion? Do I have it here? Yagyartat karmano nyatra lokoyam karma bandana. Refresh my memory. Tarartam karma konteya mukta sangha samachara. That karma, the purpose of karma, is also bhakti yoga. It's meant for offering to Lord Vishnu. So, like Prabhupada says, there's some difference, this kind of Sankhya, that kind of Sankhya. Prabhupada even said that the material scientists are practicing Sankhya in their analysis, that there's so many, this kind of element, that kind of element, this kind of protons, neutrons, blah, 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 etc. All of this is Sankhya, a deep analysis of something. But the real point is that it comes to bhakti yoga. And that's why Lord Kapila's presentation is the most perfect, because the whole point of that Sankhya is bhakti yoga. So, let's see. Yes, one and the same. They're all bhakti yoga. Ultimately, it's bhakti yoga. But if you're interested in philosophy, and Prabhupada indicated that we should be, he writes in the Bhagavatam in one purport that if someone sits on the Vyasasan, they should be conversant with the Sadarshan, because you have to speak philosophically. One time Prabhupada was looking at, maybe it was the first album, the Happening album, and there was a picture of Prabhupada on the back with a very grave look on his face. And a devotee commented, "Oh, Prabhupada, you look so grave there." And Prabhupada said, "A Swami should look philosophical." So for the sake of philosophy, these distinctions are made, and we can dive into this, what Sankhya actually is. And we'll hear that. This is the upcoming chapters. So Devahuti presented herself in this way she did the same thing when she was speaking with her husband, Kardama Muni. "I've wasted so much time. I've wasted my life." Actually, it's very nice. She actually used some of Kardama Muni's own techniques. When Kardama Muni was praying to Lord Vishnu, who visited him, he said, "Oh, these materialistic people's householder life, blah, blah, blah." And then in the next verse, he says, "Saham, that's me." And then same thing when Devahuti was begging mercy of her husband, Kardama Muni. She did the same thing. She said, "Oh, these materialistic people, they're neglecting liberation." And she said the same thing, "Saham, that's me." So, and now she's also submitting it to her son, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. "That's me. I'm this fallen person. I've missed out on this. Now I want to hear about the path of liberation." Very nicely done by her. Niravadyam ipsitam. Niravadyam means, and ipsitam is desire. Niravadyam means no contamination. So her desire to hear from the Lord was so pure, so strong. She wanted to hear about the path of liberation. She wanted freedom from this material world. She wanted what? Apavarga vardhanam. Apavarga means liberation or freedom from this material world, or even more literally, ending or cutting off the material existence. And vardhanam means nourishing or increasing. So it's almost like a sort of a poetic contrast, that apavarga is cutting off, ending, and vardhanam is increasing and nourishing. So this nice contrast is there, that she wants her desire, her enthusiasm to end material life is increasing. Very nice. What's also, we know vardhanam like govardhan. Govardhan means that which nourishes the cows. Govardhanam, with its grass, with its water, with its fruits and roots. Therefore, it's called govardhan. And that prayer, what's the nija nikita nivasam dehi govardhanatvam, Raghunath Das Goswami praying, "I want to have a residence by the side of govardhan." And in those verses, one of the words is samvardaya ga, that it, samvardaya, like vardhanam, samvardaya, that this hill nourishes the cows. So she's nourishing her desire to end material life, to attain the spiritual world, to give up her material entanglement. And her desire was so nice and so strong and so pure and so sincere that Lord Kapila so much appreciated Diya Abhinandya. Within his mind, internally, he thanked her. Abhinanda means like welcoming or thanking or praising or greeting. So inside, he was so pleased, so happy about his mother's approaching him like that with those wonderful questions, which bring out all the teachings of Sankhya Yoga. And ut imago est animi vultus is Latin for the face is the index or the picture of the mind. So internally, Lord Kapila was so pleased, so happy with his mother's approach and his mother's surrender, couldn't help but show, what's that, isat smita shobitanana, that a slight smile appeared on his face, just like I said earlier, just like Krishna smiled, that, oh, Arjuna is approaching me as a disciple. So here also, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he's smiling so happy and showing it that his mother's approach is so nice and so much appreciated by him. And anyone who's ever been a teacher or instructor or preacher knows that when a person is actually enthused to learn, I wasn't a teacher, but I homeschooled my son. And on those instances when, you know, or anyone who's been a teacher, when someone comes and they're actually enthusiastic to hear and to learn, oh my God, that's like the best feeling in the world. And assuming you actually have something to offer that person who's desirous, what a wonderful thing. So therefore, Lord Kapila, he's smiling. He's feeling some happiness, some ecstasy at this. And that smile, isat smita shobitanana, on his beautiful face, beautified by the smile, which remind me of that great verse of Bilvamangal Thakur, maduram maduram vapor asya vibhor, maduram maduram vadanam maduram, madu gandhi mridu smitam etad aho, mridu smitam is the same word, smita, smile, maduram 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 maduram. So maduram maduram vapor asya vibhor, Krishna's bodily form is maduram, maduram, sweet, sweet, two times. Maduram, maduram, vadanam, maduram. And vadanam, his face is maduram, 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 three times his face is sweet. And madhu gandhi, mridu smitam, etad aho. Madhu gandhi means a fragrance like honey. And mridu smita means this same thing as like a slight smile or a subtle or slow smile. Etad aho, aho is like, oh, like it's like a exclamation, oh. Maduram, 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 maduram. That smile is four times sweet. So Krishna's smile, to be able to elicit a smile from Krishna like that is a wonderful thing. Or to be able, and I've heard Prabhupada disciples explain how if they did something that elicited a smile from Srila Prabhupada, how vital and important and enthusing that was to them. So this is Devahuti doing this and talking about, then leading into the talks of Sankhya Yoga. Lord Kapila came to speak about Sankhya Yoga, but Devahuti's questions are what drew that out. Just like last verse on Friday, she asked about Purusha and Prakriti. This is like the classic, you know, Sankhya understanding of Purusha and Prakriti. So she's asking about that and bringing that out. So, and another thing is that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that this beautiful smile of the Lord has two meanings. One is, as I said, he's just so happy to see someone is sincerely and enthusiastically approaching with a desire to understand Krishna consciousness, to understand their entanglement in material life and how to become freed from it. He's smiling because of that. And the other reason he's smiling, going back to the motherly relationship, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur writes that the Lord is thinking within himself, you are the mother of me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can you be in Maya? but I will instruct you for the benefit of the world. So this is the other aspect, that it's in general he's smiling for anyone, and if any of us, if we ever happen to have a sincere desire to hear about Krishna, we could understand that Krishna is smiling. Krishna is smiling at that. But also, it's also part of their very close personal relationship between Kapila and Devahuti. So that's something else to consider. And that also points out that that desire, just the desire to hear, its importance cannot be overestimated. One time, Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and he said, you don't do anything else. You sit in the temple. You just sit in the temple. And when the class happens, some katha is going on, you sit in here. You just go and you sit and you hear. You don't do anything else. And he said, even you don't understand, understanding is not very important, but you just go on hearing. Now, understanding is important, but his point is that the real thing is having the desire to hear. This is the important thing. Going back also to Nectar of Devotion, in the early chapters, it's discussed in Nectar of Devotion. Prabhupada names the chapter, I think it's qualifications. Eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. So what's the eligibility? In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami writes, Swalpapi Ruchi Reva Syad Bhakti Tatwava Bodhika, which means if one has even just a little bit of ruchi, a little bit of taste for devotional service and for hearing about devotional service, then Syad Bhakti Tatwava Bodhika, then the truth of bhakti can be understood by him or can arise or be awakened in him. If he has just a little desire. But then in the next line, he says, but if someone is just a dry logician, then he has no access to understanding bhakti. So having the desire that you just want to hear, the dual desire, or two sides of the same coin desire, that you want to become free, liberated from the entanglements of material life, and you want to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, worship him, and ultimately love him, and return to him. That desire is the root of everything. This is the first qualification. Prabhupada's analysis of this in Nectar of Devotion, he writes, on account of his association with Mahatmas, or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord, one may attain a little bit of attraction for Sri Krishna. But at the same time, one may remain very much attached to fruitive activities and material sense enjoyments, and not be prepared to undergo the different types of renunciation. Such a person, if he has unflinching attraction to Krishna, becomes an eligible candidate for discharging devotional service. Now, this is also strong and important, that if you have an attraction for Krishna, even if you're not up to the standard of proper behavior yet, it doesn't mean you're rightly situated in every way, but it means you're eligible, you're qualified to take to the process of devotional service. So how important to cultivate a desire to hear and chant about Krishna. Finally, in that connection, Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati Kriyatam Yadi Kuto Pilabhyate Tatram Loyam Apimulyam Ekalam Janmakoti Sukritar Nalabhyate. That Krishna Bhakti Rasa Bhavita Mati. I've heard it explained that this is the phrase that Prabhupada translated as Krishna consciousness, which maybe that word Krishna consciousness is his own term. I don't know if it has some earlier existence in the Gaudiya Mat or not, but Krishna Bhakti Rasa, that the taste of the rasa, the sweetness of devotion to Krishna, Bhavita Mati, the consciousness. So Krishna consciousness, what about it? Kriyatam yadi kuto pi labhyate, tatram loyam api mulyam ekalam. That there's one price that you can pay in order to obtain this Krishna consciousness. Tatram lolyam, greed. Greed is more than just a little desire. Greed means like an intense desire. Apimulyam ekalam, no other desire, all the other desires cannot get you to obtain it. Just like Rupa Goswami said, the dry logician can't attain it. But if you desire Krishna, if you desire Krishna consciousness, you should get it. Janma koti sukritar nalabhyate. But this desire is so rare that even after millions of life, one may not get that desire. But if you somehow or other get it or can get it, as Prabhupada says, through the association of Mahatmas, then you should really get it, because that's the price for entrance into devotional service. And Devahuti, she was able to pay that price. Her desire was there, her understanding was there, and Lord Kapila therefore reciprocated so beautifully with her desire and her surrender. And that's, you know, that's a great, a perfect example for us, that if we cultivate some desire that I want to hear about Krishna, I want to serve Krishna, I want to serve Prabhupada and Prabhupada's movement, then that's the price we pay. That's the lolyam, beginning of lolyam. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. If there's any questions or comments, we can discuss. Yes, Prabhu.
In contrast, you haven't or developing the stronger desire. I started it. In contrast to having developed or possessing a strong desire, in the course of many years of practice, the confrontation reveals that the desire is excessively weak and not eager in the least. So in that condition, what is the recourse?
Yeah, good question. That we see that sometimes after long time in devotional service, even our desire can still remain very weak. So what to do? Is that
practically non-existent?
Well, if you're here, it's not non-existent. So if we're here, if we're doing something, it's not non-existent. But it's true that it's not what it could be. So there are things to what was that? Someone quoted in class last week that someone asked Prabhupada, why is Maya so strong? And his response was, why is your desire or your determination so weak? So yeah, that's a problem, but there's things we do to increase it. Hearing and chanting, just hearing and chanting will increase it. Prabhupada specifically mentions association of Mahatmas of, as he said, on account of association with Mahatmas or great souls, 100% in the devotional service of the Lord. So that's another important way, associating with devotees, especially advanced devotees and friends who are serious about Krishna consciousness. And, you know, I don't know, it's an up and down thing. Even day to day or hour to hour, our desire can, you know, waver up and down. But hopefully, just like if you look at like the stock market charts and it's like up and down, but if you see at least like a general upward trend, even if it's still up and down, that's, you know, not the worst. But there's things we do, and actually Prabhupada's whole program is to do that. The chanting, the reading, the deity worship, all of that is to incite that desire and increase and improve that desire. What else? One other thing I was thinking of and can't quite remember it now. But anyway, yeah, I mean, and the other is having faith, a little faith that Krishna means all attractive, that Krishna is attractive, and that if we just give ourselves like half a chance of associating with Krishna, and if we understand that, then we should believe and understand that, yeah, that just by exposing ourselves to Krishna, that attraction will arise because it's natural to us. It's not like an artificial attraction that we have to fake or imitate, or it's our natural constitutional position. So we should know that that will happen, gradually that will happen. Anyway, that's just some some random thoughts, if that's helpful or useful, I don't know. Is that okay? Thank you. Anything else?
I'm sure you could give the detail of this verse, but in the Bhagavatam, there's a verse that states, for one who renders service to the great souls who are free from vices, a great standard of service is done. And by such service, one develops an affinity for hearing the message of Vasudeva.
Perfect.
Just by serving Srila Prabhupada's movement in some way, some capacity.
Right.
And that will grow. Yeah.
Yeah, perfect shloka. Thank you. That was
Do you know the
beautiful.
Sanskrit to that? As
a, off the top of my head.
Oh, Shushudasya Vasudeva Katavachihi. Sanmaha Sevayan Mukya. Punya Tirtha Nishevana. Is that right?
Thank you. Yeah, perfect verse. Yeah, serving the great devotees. That means the people around us, great devotees, and serving Srila Prabhupada by all the things, the movement, the temple, the devotees, all the stuff that Prabhupada gave us. That's also Sian Mahat Seveya. Yeah, nice. Thank you. Anything else?
Thank you, Prabhu. It's very, very nice class. This relationship, you know, the different rasa, their examples, like Pradyumna, when Revati rescued him, he was a baby, and then her relationship changed as a mother. So it's not very common, but when it happens, when the relationship happens, they said a relationship could change. So when we first come to the movement, you know, we see Krishna, oh, this beautiful Lord and stuff, and we have, you know, we don't really have like a definite relationship, but our feelings change. Is that something like our rasa is changing? Or?
Yeah, I don't think that's the same thing. Because at least in the descriptions that Rupa Goswami gives, the sthayibhav, the actual like base relationship between Krishna and the devotee remains the same, but those other things he talks about, the angi and the anga, the source and the limb. So I don't think it's the same thing, but on the other hand, this is not a subject that I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I understand it or know anything about it. So I don't know.
Okay, that's why Prabhupada was not so keen on us thinking that we know our rasa with Krishna.
Yeah.
We just said we serve and then that will come.
Yeah, that will come.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Anything else, question or comment? Thank you very much, everybody, for your kind attention. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpatru vyascha kripa sindhu vayavacha patita nam pavanevyo vaishnavevyo namo namah.